WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Republican presidential candidates took part in their first debate of the season in Milwaukee last night. Several, including Chris Christie, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Asa Hutchinson, focused on Donald Trump on Fox.
Someone's got to stop normalizing this conduct.
We cannot set a precedent where the party in power uses police force to indict its political opponents. It is wrong.
I'm not going to support somebody who's been convicted of a serious felony.
Correspondent Robert Costa was there.
Behind the scenes, many of their top strategists tell me that they still face an uphill climb ahead. Trump remains the front runner, and at this point, they're in a wait and see moment, as one strategist put it to me into CBS News, trying to see if Trump will ever implode as he faces four criminal indictments.
Mr. Trump skipped the debate, but he is expected to appear at the Fulton County Jailhouse in Atlanta today, where he'll be booked on charges of conspiring to overturn results of the last election. Correspondent Nicole Killian.
Former President Trump said he will proudly be arrested when he turns himself in. Trump joins at least nine other co-defendants who have surrendered this week, including his former personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, who was charged with 13 counts for pushing false election claims in Georgia, allegations he denies.
New setback for school kids in the South.
Dozens of schools in central Kentucky are closed because of widespread illnesses affecting students, teachers, and staff. Pete Shepherd is McGoffin County Health Department director.
We've seen an uptick of just absenteeism, but they were saying COVID, and they were also putting strep in their antivirus that had been going around here, a stomach virus.
Schools are closed in many areas around the country because of excessive heat. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Still no confirmation from Russia on the suspected death of a mercenary leader in a plane crash near Moscow. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
There's still no official confirmation of Yevgeny Prigozhin's death.
The biggest debate at the moment is whether it was a bomb on board or a missile that actually struck it from the ground. One of the most striking things about that is the way it's taken for granted that in Russia, this is a normal and natural way of dealing with the enemies of the state. It's barely raised an eyebrow.
Keir Giles at the Chatham House on the remaining threat from the mercenary group.
You have a group of well-armed, well-trained, probably very angry people now within Russia that the state will need to know how to deal with.
So far, the Kremlin has had no comment on the crash.
In Spain, FIFA has opened a disciplinary case against the country's soccer federation president after he grabbed himself in front of the Queen and later kissed a player on the lips during the World Cup medal ceremony. S&P futures up 17. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It will be hot again, but a break comes in the afternoon. The National Weather Service has the excessive heat warning running through 7, with the heat index exceeding 100 again today. Yesterday brought brief power outages in Waukesha County, but We Energy says the stress to the system wasn't the issue. Milwaukee Public Schools are closed again today. The coverage included views of the lake, historic architecture, and a drone shot that led viewers from the Deer District into the debate stage at the Fiserv Forum. The Republicans came and went, but they'll be back next year for the party's convention. Over 100 people braved scorching temperatures to march and protest the event. Demonstrators affiliated with the Coalition to March on the RNC assembled at Red Arrow Park and marched to the Fiserv Forum. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up. Or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
The simple click of a seatbelt can mean the difference between life and death. But don't just take it from me.
As a nurse for the last 34 years, I've seen way too many people seriously hurt in crashes because they weren't wearing a seatbelt. Please protect yourself. Spare your family and emergency responders from needless trauma. Buckle up. Every seat, every trip, every time.
A life-saving message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let me, you know, I am a guy who takes a few prescriptions. And, you know, as, you know, we age and our bodies are, you know, change, you know, you don't spend seven decades on the planet and your body, not, you know, change. And oftentimes our bodies change for the worse because of all the different things that we've been exposed to over those decades. And it requires seeing a doctor. It requires taking medications. I don't know many people 70 years old or thereabouts who don't take many medications. And I do know, based on the cost and the prices of what those medications are, it prices a lot of people out of, you know, being able to afford those. But, you know, it's strange now to find out that there are people, who kind of get their fingers involved in making sure that the prices of medication continue to soar. And whether or not people can afford them or not, when you find out that there's somebody called pharmacy benefit managers who, you know, a nondescript. I never heard of a pharmacy benefit manager. And once I started reading about them, and we have invited my guest, Mr. Antonio, and I'm not going to even attempt to butcher your name. Why don't you do that for us, sir?
It's Antonio Chacha, just like the dance.
Oh, it's Chacha. Okay. All right. I can do that. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
let's do this. You are a president of Three Axios Advisors, and you're here to talk about pharmacy benefit managers. I'm soon to be 70 years old. What the heck is a pharmacy benefit manager?
Well, I swear to you, they are more exciting than their name sounds. A pharmacy benefit manager, or a PBM, is the intermediary or middleman that lives between the insurance company and the pharmacy. They are the intermediary or middleman that lives between the drug manufacturer and the pharmacy. And they are the intermediary or middleman that ultimately determines which medicines will be covered under your health insurance plan, which ones will not, which pharmacies you can go to and which ones you can't, and then ultimately determine how much you have to pay as a patient as part of your copay when buying that medicine.
Before you go any further, I have to say, my congressman and my senator, who are right there, and I thought that they were kind of, you know, in control of what could be charged and what couldn't be charged, I thought that that's kind of where it was.
if only. look, if you think drug pricing is rotten at its core, you know, PBMs are at the very core, right? And PBMs, be clear, are not all evil, but I'll explain why they have really run amok and created a lot of the dysfunction that we have to deal with as patients and employers buying medicines today. PBM started many, many years ago in the 60s and 70s, essentially like a Visa or MasterCard for your medicines. So if you were a patient and your medicine was covered by your health insurance plan, the PBM would work with the pharmacy to ultimately determine whether or not that medicine was covered and then determine how much, if anything, you as a patient would have to pay. It was a very streamlined and efficient transaction, but over time, as we covered more and more medicines under our health benefit plan, and as medicines got more and more expensive, we started to look at PBMs and say, hey, maybe rather than just paying the bill, maybe you can help influence the bill and negotiate the bill. So rather than just simply paying whatever is invoiced, we looked at the PBM to act as a counterweight, which is good, right? That's a good thing. If drug prices are too expensive and we as patients have no power, well, then maybe the PBM can help make things a little bit more fair. But that didn't really happen to a perfect degree. Instead of actually working to lower the prices of medicines, PBMs got an exemption to the federal anti-kickback statute. What that allowed them to do is now to get paid by drug manufacturers. So the drug companies now pay the PBMs in exchange for covering and preferring their medicines. You might imagine what that conflict does. Drug companies can charge whatever they want, and so they raise their prices higher and higher to create bigger kickbacks back to the PBM in exchange for coverage.
But again,
and
sir.
And that is but one of many problems.
But again, sir, the PBMs could never do what they're doing if our Congress did not allow them to, you know, to do this. You talked about the kickback that they were eliminated from. It seems like the Congress gave them a red light to do this.
You are correct. I mean, there is a lot of blame for this system dysfunction thanks to the special rules that have been achieved by drug manufacturers, PBMs, health insurance companies, and group purchasing organizations. A whole bunch of companies who many of your listeners are sitting there saying, I have no idea who they are and how could they influence my medicine. It's important to, at a fundamental level, remember, we need medicines to stay alive.
Yes.
If you're in the business of providing something that we need, well, whether you're the one making the thing that we need or whether you're somebody who's in the middle, standing in between us and what we need, right? There's a lot of money to be had to mark up the cost of something that we all need to stay alive. And so everybody in the drug supply chain has a role to play in inflating the cost of medicines. That goes for the manufacturer, the wholesaler, the pharmacy, the PBM, the insurance company, and insert whatever alphabet soup for other intermediaries that we're not even going to talk about. But they all make money off of inflating the cost of medicine and rely on us as consumers to need to pay whatever it takes to stay alive and stay healthy.
So let me ask you, President Biden was able to cut through the red tape and lower drug prices on some of the drugs that elders and others are taking. If he was able to do that unilaterally, you know, why then can't that be done? And I'm sure there were just select drugs that he was able to do that with. If he has that kind of power unilaterally, why doesn't he implement it more?
Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of context here. What President Biden did with policy through the Inflation Reduction Act did actually nothing to actually change the amount that drug makers charge for their medicines. In the U.S. system, the United States is unique relative to any system across the globe. In the United States, drug makers can set whatever prices they want. The idea is that, look, if drug manufacturers can set whatever prices they want, the hope is that investors and these companies that want to make more money will want to bring new innovative products to the market so that they can have new things to charge whatever they want on. And we could certainly debate whether or not that's appropriate or not, but the idea is the drug maker gets to set the price. Well, in traditional markets, when somebody overcharges for something, well, there are forces in the marketplace that punish them for charging too much. If the grocery store wanted to charge me $20 for a gallon of milk, I would punish them by not buying the milk. And then everybody who had a hand in making money off milk would respond by trying to make the cost lower. In the drug marketplace, we don't have that, and largely because of this anti-kickback exception that I mentioned before. If the drug makers can set whatever price they want, and the PBM will continue to buy the medicine as long as they get a kickback, well, then there's no market forces that pressure manufacturers to lower prices. What the Biden administration did with the Inflation Reduction Act was they said, look, we are going to get discounted rates for the Medicare program, but that does not change the ability for drug makers to set whatever prices they want. What it means is that the government is now getting a special discount off of bogus inflated prices, and that everybody else who doesn't get that discount is stuck paying those bogus inflated prices. What I would argue Biden did, What I would argue Biden did is he provided a very needed Band-Aid for seniors who have struggled buying their medicines. But there was nothing within the policy that actually changed the overinflated nature of prices to begin with.
Wow. Listen, I'm so excited to be able to continue and have this conversation with you again as an elder. And one who takes medications, and I know people who bypass taking life-saving medications because it's the choice of either the medication or food, or the choice of either medication or keeping a roof over their head or heat during the winter. And these are all just, you know, things that should never occur in the wealthiest nation on earth. We've got to go to a break. My guest is Mr. Antonio Chacha. He is president of 3 Axis Advisors. You can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. An excessive heat warning continues until 7 p.m. this evening. Mainly sunny skies this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 97. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows dip down to about 67. Daytime highs approaching 82. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 79 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Antonio Chacha, president of 3Axis Advisors, and he's here to talk about pharmacy benefit managers. Sir, let me ask you. You said that the drug makers can set the prices on what they sell their drugs for, and I will say to you, that most of those pharmaceutical companies do their research. They use the taxpayer dollar to do their research. And the fact that they can get away with charging these enormous prices to the taxpayers, even though they've used the taxpayer dollars to do the research and then turn around and sell those drugs at, you know, an affordable price overseas, is an insult to the American people. And so the PBMs are only empowered because, again, the people that we elect make all this possible. None of this can be possible without them, sir.
So I totally agree. You know, the United States is unique in that we, relative to our international peers, overpay significantly on brand name medicines. On a generic medicine front, we tend to actually get better deals than a lot of our international peers. But the drugs that are really breaking the bank are these newer brand products relative to those generics. And so one of the things that we already have the problem of overinflated prices in the United States. And the question then is, how do we curtail those? Some would argue that maybe price controls across the board might be an approach to take to better control the prescription drug costs. And without taking sides on the issue, one of the arguments, obviously, for price controls is, hey, it'll make things cheaper. But on the other hand, you could restrain the incentives that investors may have to bring new medicines to market. Now, we can believe whether or not that will have a significant impact or not. I'm not an economist.
Yeah, but the taxpayers are also investors.
Without question.
You could argue that we are the biggest investor.
Without question, the United States carries the largest amount of freight for the cost of developing and paying for medicines once they're on the market. So the question is, what do we do to actually better align the marketplace so that we believe that drug makers can be in a position to compete to lower prices rather than raise them? And so my problem with the drug supply chain as it's architected today is that every single layer of the drug supply chain, again, that manufacturer, the wholesaler, the pharmacy, the PBM, and the insurance company, they all can make more money the more the prices go up. And so everybody in the drug supply chain has a conflict of interest because they make more money when prices are higher. And so if we don't go down the road of price controls, the question is, how do you better align a marketplace to function to compete to lower prices? And so what policy has failed to do and what contracts within the drug supply chain have failed to do is actually reward everybody in the supply chain when prices decline rather than the opposite. So I'd argue that, yes, we have inflated prices, but we also have a dysfunctional marketplace that rewards everybody when prices go up.
So let me say this to you, and it's frustrating to me as an American citizen that the bottom line, the concern is the profit motive and not the health of the American people. Because for American people who can't afford any of these things, they're just out of luck. And so, you know, we can talk about the profit motive and all of those things, but when it comes to life and death issues, man, to me, that should be thrown out the window. But clearly the life and death of the American people comes in secondary to that profit motive that you're talking about. And I just think there's something, you know, morally wrong with that.
I have no disagreement. I'll give you a good example of how this works. And we'll use an individual drug as an example. All right, this is where my frustrations come from. I used to work in pharmacy. So I worked on the counter as a technician and got to see what would happen when patients would get their medicine or when the price was too expensive. One of the most popular drugs in the United States is insulin, right?
Right, right.
And so there's a very popular version of insulin called Lantus. Lantus is a very expensive medicine. It costs, the list price is hundreds of dollars per vial, so that every time when a patient would walk into a pharmacy, if their benefits did not cover that medicine to its fullest extent, they would be charged hundreds of dollars per month in order to procure that medicine. As you well know, many patients who are living paycheck to paycheck, they can't afford that price.
Right.
And so they're stuck paying the list price of that medicine. Well, one of the things that we know is researchers, and this is backed by a United States Senate Finance Committee investigation into the prices of insulin, that while the list price of Lantus was around hundreds of dollars, I think it was $300-$400 just a couple of years ago, the actual amount of money that the drug makers brought in after all the kickbacks and rebates were tabulated, they were only bringing in $40 for every vial. Now, you and I might still say, hey, the $40 is still too expensive, and not to let the drug makers off the hook by any stretch, right? They're still charging the hundreds of dollars. But I go back to, how stupid of a system do we have where a drug company is setting the list price of hundreds of dollars, yet they're only bringing in $40 per vial? Where is the rest of that money going, and why isn't the drug maker pricing that drug at $40 instead of the hundreds? I go back to the industry dysfunction that we just talked about, is that the system of kickbacks and intermediaries who make money off of the list prices of drugs, they incentivize and reward the higher prices much at the expense of the patient.
I
have seen patients...
You know, Mr. Chacha, I'm sorry, you know, you've got to go, but I'm going to reach back out to you because there's so much more to this story. And you certainly have a lot of information, so I'm going to reach back out to you if it's all right.
Bless you. I'd love to chat with you more.
All right. We're going to make sure we do that. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. 8 GOP presidential candidates vied for the spotlight at last night's debate, but the man in the lead got the most attention and he wasn't there. CBS's John Dickerson.
It was a good night for Donald Trump for a couple of reasons. One, there was no challenger that emerged. The field is still roughly sorting itself out. Every day that it sorts itself out, that's better for him because he's the front runner by such a wide margin in the polls and by everything our reporting tells us.
Mr. Trump is expected to surrender in Atlanta today on charges of trying to overturn the last election. election. CBS's Christian Benavides.
Here in Atlanta, security is on high alert for Trump's surrender later today. Already, about half of the 19 people facing charges have already turned themselves in.
Police near L.A. suspect a retired officer opened fire at a biker bar, killing at least three people. This man lives nearby.
It's a very family-friendly place. Like, usually on, like, spaghetti nights or the taco nights, you always see lots of family people there.
A gunman killed by sheriff's deputies. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Another hot day is expected, but relief is anticipated in the afternoon. The southern part of the state is under an excessive heat warning by the National Weather Service. The forecast is predicting temperatures to reach into the 90s, leading to that heat index going over 100. Cooling centers will again be running today. While Waukesha County and Kenosha County had brief power outages yesterday, We Energy says that the system stress wasn't the cause. Cooler temperatures are on the horizon this weekend, with highs peaking in the 70s. Menominee Falls-based Kohl's is reporting a decline in profits and sales for the second quarter. The retailer says it's due to cautious consumer spending in a challenging economy. The results did exceed Wall Street predictions due to cost-cutting measures and inventory adjustments. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. The train wreck. That was the Republican Party first debate that took place in Milwaukee last night. You know, I don't, you know, these were the people who were who were there on the stage. Businessmen Vivek Ramaswamy, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former Vice President Mike Pence, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, and North Dakota's Governor Doug Burgum. Donald Trump wasn't there. I watched it. I watched 2 hours of it. And some of it was entertaining. A lot of it was pitiful, just absolutely pitiful. And, you know, people can talk about Joe Biden, which is what they do, you know, constantly. But if I stack Joe Biden up against any of those people standing up there yesterday, I'm sorry. Even with the faux pas that Joe Biden may have from time to time, there's not a person standing on that stage that I would prefer or trust over Joe Biden. I'm sorry. I listen for a reason. Because, hey, well, Ron DeSantis is a joke. Ron DeSantis is as weak as almost any one of the people who was on the stage. Yet he was their supposed front runner a month or two ago. They were talking about how strong he was. He's going to defeat Donald Trump. I don't know what they were looking at. Hey, somebody call me and tell me what you saw in Ron DeSantis. And poor Mike Pence. Poor Mike Pence was pitiful. You know, Vivek Ramaswamy got under his skin. And he was right in some of the things he was saying. But Pence clearly stated, hey, you're a JV man, you know. You're a young guy who knows nothing. I've been there, you know. This is Mike Pence. You know, I've been there. I've been in this room. I've been in that room. I was there. I was here. I went through this. And a rookie like you, a JV teamer, that's basically what it was saying. Now, you know who you're talking to? You're talking to me. Mike Pence. Well, come on, Mike Pence. I've never seen him that animated. Ever. But Vivek Ramaswamy got under his skin. You know, even Chris Christie, who I thought was going to really show some signs of strength, was kind of weak yesterday. You know, he really was. Now, if Donald Trump is not their nominee somehow, there's not one person that was standing on that stage that has any chance whatsoever against you know, Joe Biden and the Democrats. Not one. I know I saw it, okay? And I'm not saying that I'm not biased. They'll say, some will say, well, Tim Scott. I saw Tim Scott. I've been hearing people say, oh, you know, have you seen Tim Scott? Yeah, I saw him. Yesterday, not ready for prime time. Let's go to the phone lines and CJ. Hey, CJ, how you doing, man? I saw the debate for 2 hours yesterday. I didn't walk away. I saw it all. Your thoughts?
Thanks for taking my call, Earl. Any one of those candidates better than the worst president we've ever had in our country.
Hey, CJ.
And that's saying a lot after Jimmy Carter.
Hey, you can say that all you want to, man. I saw them last night. I saw all of them. I spent 2 hours watching them. And for you to fix your mouth to say any one of them is better than Joe Biden, explain it.
We're safer prosperous.
Come on.
With a Republican.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
Where are we not safe because Joe Biden is president? Explain that.
About 6 million people across our border since he's taken off.
Let me check you right there. Those 6 million people who've come across the border, where have they made my life unsafe? They have not made my life unsafe. Where have they made your life unsafe?
Well, obviously, you haven't read the news.
I'm asking you.
Can I respond, Earl? You give me one word, and then you talk over me. Go ahead.
No, I'm asking you not what somebody read. Where has it made your life unsafe?
Oh, my God.
No, that's what you said.
No, the border.
Again, I ask you.
I can go on and on.
No. You said the border. Initially, you said it's made people's lives unsafe. I challenge you on what came out of your mouth, and you turn around and say the border.
Really?
Yes.
Fentanyl. It's killing our kids.
The people coming across the border aren't coming across the border with fentanyl, CJ.
Really?
6,000 people.
You are delirious.
I asked you again about the debate. That's where we started. Quickly.
Where's fentanyl coming from, Earl?
Hey, those 6,000 people don't have fentanyl strapped to their bodies, CJ. Or maybe you know something that I don't know.
Well, maybe you should listen to the Border Patrol, then, Earl.
I don't need to listen to the Border Patrol,
what they say, because it is coming across.
Hey, no.
Americans.
You said 6,000 people coming across the border have made our lives unsafe. And I said to you, 6,000 people are not bringing fentanyl across the border. I don't care what the Border Patrol says. They don't say that. That's CJ talking.
Earl, almost 7 million now. Well, where do you think it's coming from? It's being fed to the cartels by China, and this president doesn't give a crap.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, man. I wish you had more time. Tom from L.A. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts?
Wow. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget this, and we must get money out of politics. First off, Ron DeSantis, such a joke. I thought that when he debated against Charlie Crist as well. I had no idea why the people of Florida would elect him. The only person that was missing from that stage that was even a bigger joke would have been Scott Walker. They should have put him up there. That would have really did the trifecta of all the losers on the GOP side.
But who did you see up there?
First off,
that stood out.
My TV has never seen Fox. I didn't watch. I saw enough of.
I saw it afterwards
and heard enough. I mean, it looked like a circus. That's what it looked like. And what's so amazing about it to me is you look at this from a bird's eye view, Earl. Let's just say you come here from a different planet and you have their past president being brought in today to be indicted and get his mugshot done and all of that. And this is the person that they are saying is their front run. I mean, seriously, this party has gone so wackadoodle since George War Criminal Bush. It's just amazing to me because anybody that looks at that and said, oh, your president or your the person that's the head of your party is being convicted or being charged today and being photographed and the whole thing, this is your front runner for the next election? Are you kidding me? Here's the reason why it's such a joke, Earl, because they have no policies. They have no policies that help the middle class. They have no policies. And finally, the American people are waking up and realizing that these people have nothing but tax cuts for billionaires. And really, that's it. That's all they really have.
Hey,
that and their social, you know, wars.
Hey, Tom, I wish I had more time. We got a lot of callers. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, my friend, Julie. How you doing?
Hi, Earl. How about Nikki Haley?
I said early on in the show that Nikki Haley really, really was stood out. Because Nikki Haley pointed to everybody on the stage and said, all of you basically bought and paid for. It's what she said. She also said, we've got to be honest. This is Nikki Haley. We've got to be honest. The amount of money and debt that was incurred under Donald Trump and Mike Pence, and she gave the amount of money, and she talked about the amount of money that Republicans have, you know, kind of spent when they were in office as well, as it are as big an issue as the Democrats spending money. Nikki Haley said that, and you could hear a pin drop as she pointed to everybody on that stage, and I have a big respect for her. Because of what she said in that arena.
Yeah, she's qualified. She could be a good president.
But clearly, you know, there's no chance that Nikki Haley is going to get the nomination. When Nikki Haley is polling, I don't know, 7%, and Donald Trump is almost at 50, and after. Last night, I'm pretty sure he's going to probably be over 50%. So even in the face of that, Nikki Haley, and I do have some disagreements with her, but I also think that she shined brighter than anybody else on that stage last night. That included Mike Pence, and probably people would have never imagined that. Hey, Julie, we got to go to a break. Thank you very much for the call. Paul, I'll see you and others. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Lindsay Kynard at 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, The Shaw. Here are upcoming events happening in the area.
Shop local produce and handmade products Wednesday from 3 until 7 p.m. at the Pewaukee Farmers Market. Food trucks, children's activities, live music, and other fun awaits all who attend. Be sure to check out Jazz in the Park Thursday night. It's the largest weekly free music venue in Milwaukee. It runs from 6 until 9 at downtown's Cathedral Square. Starting Friday, Mexican Fiesta brings the sound, culture, and taste of Mexico to Milwaukee Summerfest grounds. Join the fun and celebrate 3 days of fiesta for everyone. Visit MexicanFiesta.org for more details. On Saturday, enjoy the Waukesha Farmers Market right along the Fox River in Waukesha, various vendors, and it runs from 8 until noon. And support your Milwaukee County Park and visit the Traveling Beer Garden at Doctors Park at Fox Point this Sunday starting at 11 a.m.
If you have an event you'd like us to share, let me know. Email me, Lindsay Kynard, at info@civicmedia.us.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. An excessive heat warning continues until 7 p.m. this evening. Mainly sunny skies this afternoon with highs around 97. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows level off around 67. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 82. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 79 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Your thoughts on, you know, the debate last night. Let's go to Paul from Waukesha. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Did you watch? Did you watch the whole debate?
You know, I work third shift, I was able to stream parts of it, you know, throughout the night, but I wasn't able to sit right there and watch it. But I want to make a point on some of the numerous points that have been made during your cast today about Joe Biden and so on and so forth. Of course, they're all going to attack Joe. That's what they do. If it was a Democratic debate and Trump was president or whoever is president, they're going to go after him. The only person that Biden can defeat is Trump. Biden's a terrible president. I believe, and the other problem I had with the debate, they had, 60 seconds to respond, and there's like eight different people.
Let me tell you something.
I mean, you can only...
They did not have 60... Man, a guy like Pence, and Chris Christie talked about this, and I'll get to that a little bit later on. They did not control the amount of time. And so certain people were able to filibuster, like Mike Pence, for minutes at a time, 3, 4, 5 minutes. And so it was not balanced. And Britt Baer, who surprised me, could not control the back and forth. And people were yelling and screaming and all of that. So, no, it wasn't 60 seconds, man. They were able to get their points out.
I agree with you there. But going back to my other point, Trump is the only person Biden can lose. Trump is the only person.
But I have to challenge you on that, Paul, because you didn't see these other people, man. And for you to say the only person he could lose to was Joe Biden, you didn't see the other people. This is my point, man. I saw all of them last night. They were on display. That was the whole purpose, for people to hear what those people have to say. And I didn't hear any of them, you know, especially Ron, what does Trump call him, Calvin? Ron the Sanctimonious? Okay. Especially him. He was the guy who I was really looking to see. He had nothing to say.
You know what? DeSantis is very smart. He's a Harvard graduate. He was in the Navy SEALs. He's a combat veteran. He's very smart. DeSantis is very intelligent, unlike Joe.
Yeah, well,
did you hear what Joe said in Hawaii? I mean, it was a travesty. He goes and starts bringing up some kind of situation about where his house started on fire, and he almost lost a 67 Corvette and a cat.
So
I mean, that's, everybody knows that that's a lie.
Okay, so let
that
me
guy
so,
is out
so,
of it.
So where's Donald Trump on that spectrum there? And if Joe Biden is a liar and out of it, where's Donald Trump on that spectrum? I guess he's brilliant,
like
and the truce.
Trump's made a living building hotels and golf courses. He's made a, you know, you can see.
What does that have to do with him becoming president of the United States?
I don't know, but it happened. You know, what does Joe have?
Well, let me tell you something. Donald Trump is not a self-made man. His dad left him $400 million. So when you talk about what Donald Trump, like he's a self-created man, he's not. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Are you aware of that, Paul?
Say that again?
He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. His father left him a fortune.
I mean, how did Joe get all of his money? How is he worth
You started talking about Trump has built hotels and golf courses as if he somehow created that from nothing. He did not. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And as a matter of fact, he squandered most of the wealth that his dad left him.
He's being bankrupted by the left. I think ultimately.
Let me ask you something, Paul. He's filed for bankruptcy three or four times before he was even president. Well, was he being bankrupted by the left then?
Mark Cuban, the president of, he owns the Mavericks, rich guy.
Yeah, what about
The Hilton guy?
What
they
about
all him? Claimed bankruptcy at one point or time. They say that you do not learn to be a success without going through your fair share of failures.
Yeah, well, he did it three times.
You know, I did it once.
Well, I know, but you did it once. I did it once. He did it three times.
Sure.
He did it three times. And
bad,
he had $400 million. Hey, he had $400 million, Paul.
He's got his own jet, doesn't he? With his I got to say, I hope Trump doesn't get the nomination.
He's going to get it. He's going to get it, Paul. He's almost at 50% approval by Republicans. He's going to get the nomination.
I don't understand it. I'm a Trump supporter, but I know he can't win a general election. How can he? We can't afford another 4 years of Joe.
We can afford another 4 years of Donald Trump. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what was going on. You know,
you said we can't afford another 4 years of Joe. Then you're saying we can afford another 4 years of Donald Trump. That's what you're saying, right?
All I know is the last time I didn't see the destruction of the.
Gotta go, man. Gotta go. Thank you very much for the call. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin, as always. We'll be back on tomorrow with, you know, none other than Sandy Williams and his opinion on all of this. Stay cool.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're going to be the lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast, every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.